All right, it is that time of the week, a little bit after 8:20 here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. It is time to talk fantasy football with the one and only Sultan of Stat. That is his handle on X. It is ESPN Fantasy Sports Insider Tristan Cockcroft joining me every week. His appearance is sponsored by Imon Communications. And Tristan, lots of questions this week, as we had last week in the fantasy sports world. We got guys dropping like flies. We got the waiver wire set to run. First question right out of the gate today is, who is the number one target on the waiver wire for most people this week?
So I'd say number one is either going to be, if you're going to the quarterbacks, to the hot starting Sam Darnold, surprisingly. I would argue it is Bucky Irving is still out there. And I will tell you that in ESPN leagues, he is out there in more than two-thirds. Bucky Irving should not be out on waiver wires whatsoever. Number one waiver pickup for me for this week, he got a 56% rushing share. We know about Rashad White's issues running the football. He looked like he was being relegated to a third down back role in this. He got a 56% rushing share. We know about Rashad White's issues running the football. He looked like he was being relegated to a third down back role in this past week. So there's some great opportunity there.
All right, that probably answers 5427's question, because he was asking the best running back to add, Irving, a Dowdle, or Allen, or he has Zamir White of the Raiders. Could he keep White? I imagine your advice here is add Irving and add him now.
Yes, absolutely. And in the order that you listed those names is the order in which I would pick them up. Dowdle is another interesting player because the Dallas backfield is a little bit up in the air. Dowdle so far, it's not by much, looks to me like the most productive and highest upside player. And it is still a good offensive line, so there is some appeal there. It's just that Irving could very well emerge as the go-to guy, getting maybe even a 60% share weekly in that backfield.
I drafted both of those guys this year, so I actually feel like I did a good job with my draft this year. I don't have to worry about getting Bucky Irving on the waiver wire. Greg in Epworth wants to know, Sam Laporta, Ingram, or hit the waiver wire? It's a 10-team PPR league, so tight end, keep that in mind.
Yes, and it's kind of tough at tight end so far. We've been seeing a lot of unexpected injuries between the Ingram one and the George Kittle one. Laporta has not performed up to par so far. Disappointing past week. I do still have faith in him putting up the solid numbers. Tight ends can be very hit or miss in general. That's gone on for years, so I would stay the course with him. I don't think that the players who are out there at tight end are going to give you the kind of production that you need in order to make this worthwhile. The most popular one tends to be Cole Kmet. He's out there in a large number of leagues. Good production so far, plus matchup against the Rams. It's still not good enough to start him over Sam Laporta for me. That's more of just adding depth if you want an alternative while you wait out Laporta's struggles.
All right, well, you are one step ahead of the listeners here, because 8753 was asking, is Cole Kmet a valuable tight end again, or was last week just a fluke?
Lean a little bit more towards fluke week over week. Again, as I said, it's still a good matchup this week against the Rams, so you might get another, you know, back-to-back solid games here. I just don't believe yet in that Bears offense. We have not seen any very good football from this team. The running game is just not there. This has been awful for the quarterback. He's getting no protection. It is a very difficult spot for Caleb Williams to be adapting to NFL play. And I know a lot of times in fantasy we lean towards, when the quarterback struggles and doesn't have experience, he's going to just throw to the tight end. Don't get yourself caught up on that. That's one of those crutches that don't stay consistent week over week. Be very careful there. I'm looking at Kmet as more of a matchups play, and at least it's a plus one this week.
All right, what rookies so far have intrigued you? I don't think we need to get into the Marvin Harrison Juniors of the world, but there's got to be some guys that you're feeling pretty good about right now in the early going. Who are they?
Yeah, one of them happens to play for my team. That's Malik Nabers, who's putting up historic numbers, enough for Puka Nacua's start last season. He would definitely be the A number one rookie in my book. He's just put up back-to-back extraordinary games. By the way, he gets Dallas, a defense that's been playing terribly so far. So Nabers might well start putting up numbers that rival what Puka Nacua did over the first four games. Terry Glenn, another name who put up some very big numbers in his first month's action in the NFL. The other one who really impresses me, and you know, he only got his first passing touchdown this week. And I think that's going to be a fun trivia one as to who Jaden Daniels' first touchdown went to with lineman. He has put up some very good numbers because of the mobility. And if he gets that passing game prowess in like he did this past week. And by the way, he gets Arizona another plus matchup. Jaden Daniels could be a very special player.
All right, this question comes to you via my better half. She wants to know if you've got a recommendation this week for a streaming defense. Who's out there maybe on the waiver wire that you could plug in for week four?
Yeah, and this is actually a tough week for streaming defenses. There's choices, but I don't feel all in on any of the top picks. The Raiders stand out to me going up against Cleveland. Projected very well. Cleveland's offense has struggled. I just don't really trust the talent all around in the Raiders defense, and that's why I'm a little hesitant to just say, hey, you got to get them everywhere and start them over other defenses. I mean, you teams like Jets, 49ers, Browns, I'm going to play them. They all have plus matchups. So you're leaning on the known players or the known defenses. But Raiders, the Titans against Miami. Miami's offense struggled mightily last week. They're a pretty decent streamer for this week, available in a lot of leagues. I'd actually go as far as to say the Eagles could put up decent numbers against Tampa Bay this week, and they're out there in a decent number of leagues.
319-366-1600. If you have a fantasy football question this week for Tristan Cockcroft, go ahead and get it in now. What advice do you have for the Jordan Love owners this week? As a Packers fan, I'm watching this one myself. Malik Willis has been a nice fill-in in real-life football. They seem to sort of be playing this game of they don't really want to come out and say when Love is coming back. Are you nervous that this injury is going to linger for a couple more weeks for him?
Yeah, I think they call that gamesmanship, don't they?
Yeah.
We're seeing Jordan Love getting in some of those practice reps right before the inactives list are released, and we're all just wondering what's going on. I didn't believe for a second he was going to play last week. I think this week you do have to believe there's a good chance he's going to play. We're ranking him as that just because we feel it's more likely than not he plays. I personally would rather see Malik Willis keep playing because I'm in a tough spot in a two-quarterback league, and that's my second guy. It's actually that bad, yes. But I do think he's going to step into the game this week. The problem is that it's a Minnesota matchup. The Vikings are one of the teams that have surprised me the most this season. That's on both sides of the football. The defense has been playing very well. So it's not like Love gets a great matchup. I wouldn't throw him right back into your fantasy lineup. As I said, we talked about this, what, 2 or maybe 3 weeks ago. I was concerned week over week. I want to see Love prove it to me that he's fully healthy and puts up a solid game before I put him into my lineup. So look at him as a two-quarterback and a super flex fallback for this week.
1250 on the text line wants to know if they should be worried about Anthony Richardson.
Yes. That's one we were talking about extensively on Sunday. He has not looked good the past 2 weeks at all. He's very, very erratic with his throws. That's the thing that concerns me. I just mentioned Daniels a couple of minutes ago with the mobility, and Richardson was that guy last year. But the throwing was not there for Richardson in the way that it was for Daniels, and that is a major concern. Many people in fantasy drafted him expecting that top five and maybe even top three quarterback production on the high end. He doesn't look like he's anywhere near that. And in fact, this week going up against Pittsburgh, I've ranked him outside of my top 10. That's how concerned I am. Doesn't mean drop him yet. It's just I think you need to have a solid combo partner so you can play the matchups where Richardson works out some of the flaws in his game.
366-1600. If you've got questions, now is the time to get them in under the gun. A 2023 asking, should I start Deontay Johnson or Charbonnet, Zach Moss, or Keenan Allen at flex? It's a full-point PPR league.
So a lot of that's going to come down to the injury question. Charbonnet is one who I'm starting any time that Kenneth Walker sits. He's pretty solid so far. Detroit is not the easiest of matchups, but based on what he's done in the more plus matchups, I do think he can give you solid RB2 numbers. He'd be the pick if Walker sits. If not, I'm going with Deontay Johnson. Looked much better. Carolina's offense did as well. But Deontay Johnson is the one who I'm kind of, you know, looking at as the real benefactor of the Andy Dalton switch. Dalton can get him the football. Johnson was always going to get the targets. Having a guy who's not going to make those mistakes that Bryce Young did is going to help Johnson. I think he's a player who's probably going to lock in as a top 25 weekly wide receiver with the switch.
All right, injuries aside, Tristan, through 3 weeks, who has been the biggest fantasy disappointment in your eyes?
It's not Richardson, who we talked about a minute ago. Actually, he's lower on the tiers, but Christian Kirk has driven me kind of nuts. His production has been pretty poor so far this season. Not one of those high-end players, Brandon Ayuk has had some great opportunities around the injuries and has disappointed me quite a bit. Richardson is probably my number one, the expected production levels. Even Mahomes is a little bit beneath Stroud. If it's not Richardson, it's probably one of the other quarterbacks. One of those two are Joe Burrow.
All right. Matchup maps, weekly rankings, and more. Anything else you've got this week at ESPN.com for the listeners?
I do. As soon as 4 weeks of the season come into play, we just talked about the defenses. The new defensive and special teams roadmap that takes you through the next month is going to come out. That will help give you some of those streaming. Choices for the upcoming 4 weeks and through October.
Are you a Survivor League guy, Tristan? Are you in any of those?
Oh, yes, I am, and I already got booted this week. It's been a rough year for those players, isn't it?
I was going to ask you if you can remember a year that has been this brutal. I mean, it's just...
This one, I was really happy and patting myself on the back over the first 2 weeks, and then I get bumped in week three. My top two choices both lost. It's been that kind of year.
All right, Tristan, appreciate the time. As always, of course, we send people to ESPN.com/fantasy for all of their fantasy football advice. Look forward to talking with you next week. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Looking forward to it.
That is Tristan Cockcroft. You can give him a follow on X, Twitter, @SultanOfStat.